We're going to teach a new series, and that is in line also with some of us and what we have received from the impartation in Madaba, and also those of you who will be laid hands upon and the presence of God imparted into your lives when Pastor David comes back and imparted anointing into your life to increase all that God is doing in your life. And as the first phase of his ministry concludes, and before we begin the second phase. So this series that we're going to touch upon is understanding the presence of God. And presence of God is not just some sort of sensation or even some sort of inner acknowledgement that we have. There are rules and regulations and laws that govern God's presence. Remember that all the commandments that have been given, all the Old Testament and all the altar sacrifices from the time of Abraham right to the time of Moses, and all the different instructions, were given so that we have a method to approach His presence. Many times He speaks about being holy. And then people who did not abide by the laws of God. But we all say the laws of God. And that sounds like, wow, you know, we have to be good children, not naughty children. So naughty children disobey His laws. We only see from our end perspective, our human perspective, you know, these are all the laws, and you don't keep it, you get whacked. And, but we forgot that the main thing for the laws were these were laws governing God's presence. These were laws that God said, if you obey, I will be in your midst. If you don't obey, I can't live in your midst. So the whole purpose behind all the laws, the whole purpose behind all the regulation, is that God will live in our midst. And so obviously the presence of God has laws involved. You know, not just like say, ah, I got the presence of God. But there are laws that govern His presence. And there are degrees of His presence. And there's so much that we have to understand about His presence. Now, His presence is always a blessing. And what happens if we don't follow His rules and regulations about the laws? And next time when you see the word law, in your mind add the word law of His presence. Whether it be the Ten Commandments, whether it be the priestly commandments, or whether it be the Old Testament commandments, or the New Testament understanding. These are all laws, precepts, governing His presence. In other words, God says, if you want me to be with you, you must be like that. And we say, why are you so stuck up? Why are you like that? And the reason is, when He shows His presence, if we don't follow His laws, His presence will kill us. So His presence, at the same time, while being powerful in increasing both the spiritual blessings in your life, the mental, emotional blessings in your life, and the physical attraction of blessings in your life, can also kill us. And we all know that in the natural is true. Anything that is powerful can also kill. Any new power that we discover is as useful as it is deadly. The more useful it is, and the more powerful it is for its usefulness, the more deadly it is. The two seems to come together. And all of us desire God's presence, and some of us will receive an impartation and many impartations in your life. You'll be wondering, what has changed? What does the impartation do to me? One of the things that you will always do consistently, no matter what kind of impartation you have, will be His presence. You see, but I thought I already got His presence. That's where we got to understand there are degrees of His presence. And when we talk about degrees of His presence, the more His presence increases in your life, there are certain things that change. There are new regulations and laws that govern His presence. Things that before you might do, now His presence will push you and say, you can't do that anymore. and other things that you might like, suddenly it disappears, and then there are new things that you like. So there are internal changes, and we need to understand the laws of His presence and how His presence work in our life and all the degrees of them. So for a start, we will give an overall view of His presence and realize how His presence is in many directions, in many dimensions, and old and new, and also zoom in on one or two particular Bible people to show how the presence of God changes their lives. And by that example, we can understand how the increased impartation in your life, how the presence of God in your life would change. And believe me, it will change you subconsciously and even mentally. I don't know how many of you have experienced that change when you were reaching puberty, or you were turning from a young teenager into adult. You could feel something change in you. You could, not just physically in your body, you could feel that your mental perspective also changes. That it's like something inside you looks at the world in a different way. And it's very subtle, but yet it's very permanent. Even scientists and biologists agree that teenagers do not use their cerebral cortex as much as a more mature adult. But the more we mature, decision-making is pushed to the frontal part of our brain, where we evaluate and analyze things before an action is taken. Whereas teenagers, when they look at the brain through an instrument, the cerebral cortex doesn't fire up as much. But the other part called allegorical con, they call it the reptilian brain, which is more the emotional side, lights up. And so changes do come. And it also explains biologically why teenagers do things even without analyzing. And but as one matures, one begins to have a different part of their brain function. It is even the actual function of the brain changes. And then when we apply to spiritual laws, there is a change where there is an internal part of you seem to be awakening. It's almost like reaching spiritual puberty. And of course, as we mature in God, there are different levels that we increase. Each impartation will change us and transform us in many ways. And it is not even an attempt at changing. It's so internalized, you might not even feel the change until you look back and say, hey, I have changed. And there are things that have changed in your life. And so let's look at some of these things on the presence of God. Of course, we start with the book of Genesis. Before the fall, the presence of God was apparently manifested outwardly. In chapter 3, it tells us here in verse 8. This is after the fall, but it gives us an example of how God's presence used to manifest before the fall. But now after the fall, it manifests again, but the reaction to the same presence was different. It says in verse 8, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." Presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That has never happened before. And this is true whether negatively or positively. Whenever we are changed or affected positively, you react to the presence of God better and differently. But whenever something happens to you negatively, I say you broke the laws of God, then your reaction to God's presence is also different. God noticed it, everybody noticed it. And God knew where He was. And the moment He heard the sound, not just His presence, there was, you notice, the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, in the cool of the day. He said, I didn't know when God walked, got a lot of noise. They hear the noise. some sort of noise of God walking, and they say, God is coming. Now, whether God wore big giant boots that make sound, croc, 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 or some sort of manifested thing. So what they heard was not the presence, the sound of the presence. The presence was still far. And they heard the sound of the presence, they hide. And the presence of God comes. Of course, God himself carrying his presence, and their reaction was totally something that God didn't expect. God said, Adam, where are you? Because before, maybe when they heard God's presence, they would run. Oh God, yes, here we are. And they'll be looking for God's presence. Now they're running away from God's presence. That whole story tells us the beginning of the fall. And our reaction to the presence of God has been sometimes negative. And for those who begin to know God, it becomes positive. We jump forward to Abraham, who must have tasted the presence of God here and there. It was the presence of God that he heard and he saw and that manifested to him, and he obeyed and he went into the land of Canaan. But this is something about Abraham that an example of him in chapter 18. Now, there are many places, but I choose the places where you see his response to God. Chapter 18, verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in a tent in the heat of the day. And we know how hot it is in desert weather. And some of you have gone to Dubai in the summer. You say, wow, it's hot. And I remember our first night on the way to Madabar, we stopped by Dubai. And Eddie was not with us. He came on Wednesday. It's Sebastian. And then everyone was tired at night, but no matter how tired, I said, look, I want to still go to the beach in the city. And so we were near the beach, so I persuaded Sebastian. He said, yes, I'll come with you. Everybody's tired, they slept. So we went there. Oh, it was hot, wasn't it, Sebastian? But it was nice. It was like in a sauna. And but there we were lying down. And I just say, I just got to enjoy the beach, at least for half an hour. And everyone was tired. Physically, I was tired. But I just want to soak in the scenery. And so I could imagine there is Abraham sitting in the heat and trying to cool himself. I don't know whether he got a handmade fan. But whatever he was doing, when he looked up, he saw three men standing there. And of course, we know, you know, they were the angels of God, the other angels, but they represented the Lord. He recognized the presence of God. And when he recognized them, notice his reaction. He lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. When he saw them, he ran. He didn't just go. Is it not? And slowly, look. Like, why not stick their necks up and, you know, look around and then say, maybe he didn't. He was so sure, he got up and he go, run to the Lord. Wow. For someone to run to the Lord, it tells us there's some recognition, some acknowledgement. Something in him fire up and he recognized the presence of God. He ran from the tent door and he met them. Bowed to the ground, and he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight. Now, he must know the presence of God. If you treat ordinary men, you say, hey, what are you doing? Who are you? What's your name? So, obviously, he recognized the presence of God, or the manifestation. And he says, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. In other words, I want your presence to come here. I know you're going to do something. But come by here a while. Do you notice what he was doing? If Abraham didn't welcome the Lord, what would the Lord have done? The Lord might not go by his tent. The Lord would see from afar, oh, there's Abraham. He's sitting there. You know? And being the, you know, whatever God is, bless him. And then just continue. And what they were doing was they're going to pronounce judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a job to do. But Abraham said, bring some of your presence here. Come this side. And then you can do whatever you want. And so he diverted them and he says, Do not pass on by your servant. That sounds like an old hymn. Savior, Savior. You know the good old hymn? Do not pass me by. And so, like, old hymn, don't pass me by. Come this way. Bring your presence this way. And say, please. And you know what he says? Let a little water be brought. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. Just let me serve you a cup of water. And then they say, all right. So they started coming this way. And remember, they got a job to do. And Abraham ran back. He says, a little water, just a morsel of bread. Now the Hebrew was very definite. Just a little bit of water. Little bit of bread. That's all. Don't take too much of your time. Just come by this way. And they consented. And then when they say yes, remember, they are not running. The only guy running was Abraham. They were walking. And as they were walking, Abraham ran. And that time, Olympic race had not been invented yet. He would have been fast, I can assure you. You know why he has to be fast? Before they arrive, he must get everything ready. But what he had in mind was not a little water, a little bread. He ran very fast. And then he came. He says to Sarah, quickly, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make a cake. Sarah said, wow, make cake now. Now, quickly. Oh, first time, you know, wife not ready, invited guests. Yeah, come back and say, make 3 cakes. Now, well, good thing Sarah just went along with that. And then only while Sarah making a cake, and make it the best cake, by the way. And as you're making a cake, Abraham ran. I tell you, that day got a lot of running. He ran to them, ran back, told Sarah, and then ran to the herd. Even the herd was looking at the master. Why is master running around? Until the master headed their way. And then, one of them was a tender, good-looking calf. And the master ran to the calf and took the calf. And the calf would say, well, I wonder what my master is going to do to me. Something very delicious. And took the calf, gave it to the young man, and he says, he hastened to prepare it, and he said, cut it up, kill it, roast it. Say, wow, how fast you want to roast it? Now! An hour ago. And so he prepared all this feast that was there. And in verse 8, he took butter, milk, and a calf which he had prepared, set it all ready. And there were the angels representing the presence of God sitting under the tree. And then remember, he said, just a little bread, just a little water. And then out came the sandwiches. But it was the size of a calf. And he said, wow, if this is the way Abraham sandwich and light dessert and morsel, I wonder what his real dinner is like. Here comes a big, huge calf with all those things. And while they sat there, they say, where is Sarah your wife? Say, here is the tent. And then he says, I will surely return to you according to the time of life. Behold, Sarah, your wife shall have a son. Now, all these blessings, all these things were like something that Abraham received extra blessing. The Lord just was passing by. But he said, come this way, come this way. And he really put his heart into serving God. But it was more than that. He was drawing the presence of God to his tent. Although they were by the tree, he was drawing them in his direction. And in the midst of that, they pronounced a blessing on him. It fulfilled what God had told him earlier, that he will have a child. But this extra blessing came upon his life because Abraham took an extra step to draw the presence of God towards him. When you think about it, what has changed from the time that you came to know God until where you are today? Most of us have been to many churches, you've been to many ministries, you have learned 1,001 things, you have read 10,000 books, maybe not 10,000 books, 10 books, and you have, attended a few hundred seminars, you have accumulated knowledge, you have people lay hands on you, you know, left, right, center, and back. And so you have all kinds of meetings. What has changed? You know what is supposed to change? The presence of God in your life. Comes down to that. At the end of the day, it comes down to the presence of God in your life increase. And it's such an almost intangible concept. The presence of God in our life. That has changed. That increase, widen, manifest your life and meet God. What should be the ideal? You will be so full of the presence of God that it is like heaven walking on earth. The presence of God will increase. Now, how much it increase in each one of our life depends on us, not just on God. And that's what we need to understand about the presence of God. How much it increases upon our life depends on us. We see here that there is initiative to direct it your direction. Whatever God does. And you read the story of the New Testament panorama. Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them betrayed him and left, replaced by Matthias. But why 12 disciples, and each one received differently, and each one became different? Was it just Jesus? Was it just the gifting? Was it just the personality? Now, of course, everyone will have different personalities. That's obvious. But it's not just the personality. It's the presence of God. And you see in the Bible, God used different type of people. From herdsmen to cultured people like Daniel and Joseph. And from wild people who live in the wilderness like John the Baptist. To people who grew up in rabbi areas like Paul. All of them got different personalities. But what was interesting about each? They received the presence of God in their life. You could be a wild herdsman, the presence of God touch you, and you change accordingly. You could be a scholar, and the presence of God touch you, and that changes. The most important is the presence of God. Why do we choose a church to go? Why do we go to certain ministries? Why do we hear certain messages? Because somehow, something in us discerns the presence of God inside. That there's something there that gets into our lives. The more we hear it, the more we transform. Whatever presence comes into our life. That's what all people seek. And the fact is, sometimes there is an initiative to invite the presence of God into our lives. As Abraham did, he was eager. In whatever way God manifests, he was eager that the presence of God does not pass him by. Let's look at another case in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Here were two disciples and they were not even among the 12 disciples. Now we ask a question, why were the 12 all different? And you read the New Testament panorama, you notice this. There is some such a thing as initiative. John went a little bit closer than all the others. Jesus said, stay here. And John peeped. Look at where he prayed. Look at where he stayed. And he's always watching. And Jesus knew he was watching. But John's curiosity and initiative to know more about Jesus makes him different. Not just their personality. What was it? the presence of God. The presence of God that he got. He pressed in a little bit. And all the Gospels, I love the Gospel of John. And it's so different. The perspective is so different. It's like someone who knows Jesus more intimately. And when he writes about Jesus, he writes about Jesus as the Word made flesh. While the others see him as a physical human, he saw him as the Word made flesh. Even the first few verses of 1 John is quite hard to understand. He say, he was the Word and the Word was made flesh. Somebody read and say, hey, who is he talking about? He's talking about what everybody calls a human being. But he said, this is the Word. So he saw more than what the others saw. Initiative to press into the presence of God more than the others. So here we have in the Gospel of Luke. That's why I have all-night prayer to give us opportunity to take initiative in the presence of God. 22 people can go to Madaba and come back. 10 years later, the presence of God of the 22 developed differently. Can we say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, you know. We all receive the same presence and different anointing, so we all come out differently. Ah, whatever you receive, what you do to it changes you. Here, let me give you an example of my life. I did not come from a Pentecostal background. My background is a Baptist. Non-tongue-talking, non-spirit-filled. In a seminary, I was more hungry than everybody else. So while everybody's studying, you know, I look at the studying, I say, oh, so boring, you know. But I still did the exam. All my marks are 90 over. So still study, but after I study to pass the exam, and a few things I'm interested in, like Greek and all those things. But the other things, very boring. But I did absorb it, and but the interesting thing I found was the library. So I love the library. It has the largest library at that time in Southeast Asia. I'm sure other seminaries might have overtaken it. And I read all the biographies, all the books there. As much as I got hungry, I was absorbing. And then, one day when I got baptized in the Spirit and spoke in tongues, without knowing it's tongues, I was asking questions. Well, what about tongues? Who is this? And we have, in the second or third year, we have one or two Assembly of God people join us. And I asked them about tongues, since they were Assembly of God. I was Baptist. The funny thing is, they just know about tongues and that's it. They don't know anything else. They can't show from the Bible. At that time, not much teaching about tongues. And so by the time we came out, student pastor in third year, then came out from the seminary, I began to read books about tongues and read the Bible about speaking in tongues. I understood what tongues was. At first, I doubted and learned about tongues. But I push on. I say, everyone knows that tongues edify. But how much does it edify? So I push on. So pray in tongues for 6 hours. Wow, very good. And pray in tongues for 16 hours. Wow, very good. They say, what happened if I pray for 24 hours? What happened if I pray for 48 hours? Was this initiated by God? Well, he might inspire a thought, but it still takes work. And so push on, pray in tongues, 48 hours. And I began to experience presence like never before. And then it is because we push on. We push on. And then when fast, I read about fasting, I was frightened of fasting as Eddie used to be. Fast? Oh, one meal can. But, wow. But I tried. Honey fast, you know, honey water. And that time I was just freshly courting Amy. And I was still fasting. One of the complaints my mother-in-law had is, oh, this skinny fella. Yeah. Is he a drug addict? So, and one day I was helping to cook, right? Because I was fasting, just lose a little blood, got cut, almost fainted. But still fast. Still push on. But discover things that never experienced before. I discover things like when you pray tongues in long, there's a moment when you know how when you're new, your mind is very noisy. Yeah. Then your mind quiet. Then I discover things like you could pray through until you go open vision. So then you add fasting and all this. I discover things like that and I say, wow, there's so much here. And each discovery changes you. But the fact when I look back is, if I don't push on, I would not have discovered. If I didn't take initiative, I might not have tasted. So it seems like God always set a table and you can lead a horse to the water, but you cannot make the horse drink the water. Okay, drink, tell you, the horse will give you one kick. And that will be the end of you. Can lead the horse to the water, but you cannot make the horse or horse drink. The horse must want to drink. You can spread a smorgasbord of buffet, but it's still our choice what we take. And so in Luke 24, there were these two disciples. They knew something was happening. Jesus was with them without them knowing who Jesus was. In fact, their eyes were hidden in Luke 24. And as they journeyed with Jesus, Jesus pretended that he was not Jesus. He said, wow, Jesus pretended he was not Jesus. And then he asked them, because in verse 16, chapter 24, their eyes were restrained so they did not know him. He said, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Now, he knew what they were talking about. They're talking about him. He knew all the events, but he pretended he didn't know. He was drawing them out. And then they said, are you the only one who doesn't know? He's a stranger here. Everybody's talking about this. And they talk about Christ and all those things that happen. And then, look at verse 19, how good he is. He said, what things? Hey, this is Jesus. He knew everything. But he said, what things? And then they began to talk about everything that Jesus has done. He was drawing them out. And they say, you know, there was a prophet. And his name was Jesus of Nazareth. I tell you, when they were talking about him, I wonder whether on the inside he was smiling. Because it was him. And they didn't know it. And then they talk about all the details, all the appearances. And then he started speaking. He says, oh, foolish ones, he says in verse 25, slow heart to believe. Ought not that Christ who has suffered these things to enter into his glory? And they were not really surprised. They said, well, this stranger knows a lot. Wonder where he came from. And then he gave them the best Bible study in the whole world. All along the way, beginning from Moses, which means he started, let's begin in Genesis. Then a few more kilometers, Exodus. Few more kilometers, Leviticus. Hopefully they didn't fall asleep by then. And then go a few more, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and then Judges, and 1 Samuel, and 2 Samuel, and on and on. And he began with Moses, and all the prophets. He expounded the scriptures about himself. Oh, that was one Bible study that every one of us should have attended. So you have a chance, you go to heaven, you're going to catch up a short circuit, tune your video to this. And then you hear Jesus teaching about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus teaching about Jesus from the Old Testament. I mean, who else can beat Jesus teaching about Jesus from the Old Testament? And so remember, put it on one of your to-do lists when you reach heaven. And have a look at that Bible study. That's interesting. And by the time he finished, they were near the village. And then Jesus says, in verse 28, he indicated he would have gone on. Here is it. He would have gone on. He's done his job. In verse 29, they constrain him. Says, abide with us. it is evening, it's late, day is fast spent. Stay. They constrain him. They say, come here, stay with us. Come here, stay with us. So the Bible says they constrain him. And the word constrain is a very strong Greek word. Almost like they had to persuade him. So it possibly didn't happen one time. He didn't just say, okay, folks, I have to go. And then they say, please stay. He say, no, thank you. Okay, bye, bye. No. And he wanted to go. He said, please stay. He said, no, I have to go. He said, please stay. No, I'm going to go. You really, we insist you must stay. And just look at them and say, you're sure about it? And he said, yes, please. But then they might be holding his hands. Please come in. And finally, however long it took, when he went with them, he sat at the table with them. He took bread, he blessed, gave it to them, and their eyes were open. And they knew him. Imagine they must be stunned. He has been many hours with you. It's a very long journey. Suddenly they say, well, he was Jesus. He just gave us a good Bible study. And they might have been stunned for a moment with no words to say. When they were stunned, he disappeared. Then they looked at one another. And finally they realized, it's Jesus. They were so excited. They check out of the hotel that day. Quickly go back to tell people, we just seen Jesus. And they check out at night. You look at it. They said to one another, hey, our heart burned. Verse 33. They rose up that very hour and they went all the way back to Jerusalem. The excitement. They went back. Now what happened? They received another measure of blessing because of their initiative. They really received a certain measure. It was great what Jesus had with them. But there was a little measure when they draw it to them. Most I say, Savior, Savior, do not pass me by. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. Almost saying, Lord, please come here. And you all know the story of Exodus 33. When Moses, after seeing so much glory of the Lord, says, show me your glory. And because of that one prayer, he came down with his face shining. In fact, God told him, no one can see my glory and live. You can see my glory, but go and say goodbye to your family first. So the next time, he said, God, show me your glory. He copied Moses. And then he said, go and say goodbye to your family first. He said, oh Lord, I don't mean that much. But he said, no one see my glory and live. You see my glory, that's the end of your flesh. You got to come on. And God says, all right, I'll show you a little bit of the tail end of my glory. And just that little bit, he came down, changed and transformed. Oh, the presence of God. There is a certain initiative necessary. And that's why some of you took initiative, went all the way to Maraba, climbed a rocky mountain, and bear the heat of the desert. Some of you say, wow, I should have been there. Don't worry, got some more trees coming up. And, so there's always more trees coming up. Say, oh, when? Praise the Lord. When the next one comes. And so, the presence of God that is there, there is a certain initiative that we draw on the Lord. But there's so many dimensions. There is the presence of God in the Old Testament with you. So there's a presence of God with us. And he can manifest on the outside of you. And when he's with you, it is a certain dimension and relationship-wise. And it's almost like projected, where you could converse, you could draw on him. You see that happening in Abraham's time. You see that in Moses, when you say God was with him. And in David's time, when the Lord was with him and the presence of God go before him. And so there's the presence of God with him, and the Lord was with Adam originally. And so there's a presence with. Let me bring all the adjectives of God's presence, and each one has a certain meaning. In the Gospel of John, it summarizes it. Gospel of John. They're talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. Verse 17 talks about two dimensions. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. These are two different dimensions. There's a dimension when he's with us, a dimension when he is in us. So this is two different sensations and two different manifestations. He said, I thought the presence of God is just the presence of God. No, we need to enjoy both. There's a presence of God in, which is a different dimension, and a presence with. Now, when he is with, you could do things differently. When the anointing comes upon, usually it's a presence of God with. When he is with, you've got certain liberty to flow. And I could feel the with presence moving. And at that time in Penang, we had a big bouquet of flowers over the pulpit area. And I sense the with presence, not the in presence, but the with presence draw during ministry time towards the bouquet of flowers. So what do? Do I take the bouquet of flowers and throw it? Maybe I could have. But the with adapts the methodology and style. So when he was with when the presence was with the bouquet of flowers, I told the people, there is the presence of the Lord there. And after the meeting, you all just walk by that bouquet of flowers. Never done it before in my life. Never done it after. But that's what I illustrate with that. So some of the people, you know, they obediently go like sheep. Yeah. And then they just reach out to God in the presence of God. Of course, in the crowd, there was a person who said, voila, what presence of God, what bouquet of flowers. And then the Lord opened the eyes of a young little boy. And I believe they recorded in a video. And the little boy said, there's someone standing at the bouquet, someone white and bright, right near the man who did not believe. God was confirming his presence. But there was some presence. It never repeated again. So when the presence of God is with, you work differently. With means it's like he's outside of you, and you got to check with him what he wants to do, where he flows, what he wants to do. And sometimes when the with presence extends in a different manner, then you flow along. And depending on the dimension, even the weave got different dimensions. Sometimes the weave is like a big cloud, and you could reach out into the cloud, draw it into a ball, and then you throw the ball. And in any direction, the presence of God flow with the ball or his presence, and then it will reach a person, and the person will receive healing or blessing, or whatever the presence is. So the with presence has its order. And sometimes during convention, I remember during the Sabah convention or something, I remember. So I saw a cloud form. That is the with presence. And then I said, all right, don't come here to the altar, just stand in the altar area. So they could be like 20, 30 feet away. And then I said, okay, right now. And then I waited, the presence was thick enough. And I will say, now is when you receive. And this way, when you receive, the presence of God will go into their life. So there is a dimension when there is a with presence. And it's different from the in presence. The in presence is something within that is a sensation you have. And so there is a with together with the in, and both are different. You see, are both necessary. Now, apparently he say that you will know him for he dwells with you and will be in you. The New Testament is special because there's an in presence that the Old Testament does not have as much. The Old Testament, they got a lot of with. The Lord was with them. But in the New Testament, sometimes you have the Lord in them and the Lord with them. And he manifests that he was with them. Let's show an example in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, in Acts chapter 5, verse 15. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on their beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. So that is when you have the with presence flowing with Peter at a certain time. And when he walked, and when his shadow, it was not really his shadow. We know shadow does nothing. Flow. And what happened after that? Did you see another shadow healing after the chapter? No. It was at that time. Because later on you see that they arrest him, they grab him, but there was no more shadow healing. Because that was one time the Lord chose to manifest with them. And as the anointing increases, there will be times when God chooses when the presence is with us. And when the presence is with us, you could do things as the with presence allow you a certain liberty to flow. But in the meantime, his presence is in us, and we build his presence within. And each got no limit. You thought, well, reach a certain limit, but he can expand your spirit to increase even more. That's why he say, let your inner man be strengthened. And then there's even more. And when he fills you to the full, you thought you got no more, he increases you some more. To contain more and more of his presence. So even the presence inside us, and I better give a scripture for the presence in us. Ephesians chapter 3. Says here, in verse 16 and 17, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Say that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So apparently there is an increase of his internal presence. And you might say, how does it benefit me? The same way, the more the presence of God, the more blessings flow through your life. It is not you that cause the blessings, it's the presence that draw the blessings. And the in presence, the with presence, each has their dimension. For example, in the in presence, if you receive an anointing of God, it depends whether God is increasing your in or your with. You say, are there only two? Oh no. Go in, with, front, top, below, rear, all around. Say, wow. Okay, tonight cannot cover all. So, for additional tips, or the next few weeks we'll touch on. So there's in, with, forward, front, reverse, rear guard, back, below, holding us up. There is all around us. Each has its laws. Say, wow, 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 interested. Give me an example. Okay, let me throw an example all around. When God filled the tabernacle of Moses with the all-around presence, That is in Exodus chapter 40, by the way. Even Moses, who has a measure of the in and a measure of the with, cannot stand the measure all around. He says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. In chapter 40, it says, even Moses cannot go in. He's the guy who saw the back parts of God's glory cannot go in. He says, it filled the whole tabernacle. Even Moses tried, cannot go in. Because it was another different surrounding presence. Now, the surrounding presence occurs only at certain night. Each has its law. Each level, there's an understanding of the presence of God. Each has its law for manifesting. For example, the law for the in presence will first affect you by something change and have to strengthen first. Your inner man has to feel a change of strengthening before you feel a change in his presence indwelling. And you might have already got his indwelling presence because he's talking to Christians here. But you have another level of strengthening and another level of indwelling. For the with presence, there can be like the presence of the Lord was present to heal. The with is there but waiting to be released. Like electricity in the air waiting to be channeled. That's a different presence. That is the with presence. So, example, in the book of Acts chapter 14. So in Acts chapter 14. And it says here, Paul was preaching. And as Paul was preaching, the only one who could sense the presence of God with was Paul. So you thought everybody can sense the with. No. Sometimes the presence of God with and people don't know. After all, in the presence of God was with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And they only sensed their heart burning, but they didn't know it was Jesus. So only Paul could discern the whiff, and there was enough electricity in the air to do a healing. And it was waiting for Paul to command. Even the lame cripple did not sense the whiff present. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. But he was not healed. Isn't it strange? Look at that. For a few microseconds, or many seconds or minutes, or could have been an hour or two, when he had faith to be healed, do you notice that? It didn't say he didn't have. Look at verse 9 very carefully. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith. Did he feel different? No. Did he feel healed? No. Because he's new to the presence of God. I know it when the presence of God come into the room and people still don't know. Because not everybody is sensitive to the whiff. Not everybody's heart burn because they sense the whiff. People can sense the in, but not the whiff. And here's a lame man. He had H-A-D, which is past perfect tense. Not will have, not shall have. He had. Then why wasn't he healed? Because the presence of God with us needs to be recognized and released. When was he healed? At that moment, when the one who recognized the presence gave the command, and the guy who was there did not feel anything, but obey the command. And when he obeyed the command, and Paul just said, stand up on your feet. Of course, I'm not sure his hand can move, but stand up. And he stood up on his feet. And suddenly he was healed. And when he was healed, everybody said, oh, God is in our midst. Hey, God was in their midst before he was healed, correct? God was in their midst even while Paul was preaching. But they didn't know him. So could it be possible? Well, Mark chapter 6. Jesus was in his hometown, but he could not do any miracles. Because they didn't recognize the presence of God manifested in their midst. The same Jesus. And no presence was released. He was with them, but the with presence was not recognized. It's an allegory too. So it takes a recognition. Give another example. God told David, when you go below the mulberry trees or whatever, some translation put other types of trees, do not go up, do not attack until you hear the sound of marching above the trees. So what did God say? Only when the with presence is there, then you go in. So you can see, was God with David all the time? Yes. When he picked God was there. But this was the with presence. In the Old Testament, they have a type of in-present. Let's put it there. When he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's with it. So they cannot be the full born-again type like we have. But they have a measure of in-presence. Put it this way. Not to the extent of the Spirit. That's why he always said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So they could feel the presence of God in their soul, obviously. It's a measure of in-presence. Their spirits were not born again, but at least their soul still got feel the in-presence of God. But when he went out to battle, he has to work with the with presence of God. And if he cannot discern the with presence, he will have no victory. So if they wait and wait and wait, and then David turn around to Joab, you hear the presence of God? No. Turn to Benaiah, have you? No. But, sir, what did God say? The sound of marching above the trees. You mean these mulberry trees, the one with the silkworm? Whatever trees they were. It's trees? Yes. So they're all waiting. They didn't hear anything. Then maybe one of them hear the rushing. He goes on, shoom. Hey, get back. That one, not rushing. That one, somebody, you know, make some noise. They had to hear exactly that it was the sound. And David was the one who was recognizing it. So he says, it's a sound now. Let's go! And then when they go, God went before them. So the with was important. The same way in healing. Why healing is destroying the works of the devil. The same way in prosperity. Prosperity is destroying the works of the devil in poverty. The with presence. So when the with presence is manifest, you go forward. But there's an art of recognizing the with presence of God. And Paul recognized it. Now what happened if Paul saw it, Paul recognized it, nobody else recognized it, and Paul closed the service and benediction and walked off? The with presence would just be hanging in the air and nothing happened. Let's look at another example, Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, this is Jesus himself. And Luke chapter 5, correct? Luke chapter 5. Yes, Luke chapter 5 verse 17. It happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. There was the with presence. Now, all his life, Jesus had the in presence. When Jesus started his ministry, he started the with presence because the now anointing was upon. He did not do a single miracle until the with presence came on him. Before the Spirit came on him, he did have the presence of God. The Bible says he grew in spirit, in wisdom and in favor with God and with man. So he had the presence of God. His name is Emmanuel. You cannot say he didn't have the presence of God. What presence did he have? He has the in presence. But the with presence must come before he can do mighty works. So when the with presence came, Jesus could do things with it. And here in Luke 5, the with presence was there. But nobody was healed. Because the with presence needs to be channeled. It needs to be channeled. And when it's channeled, it changes. So the presence of God was there to heal, but nobody was healed. Was waiting for Jesus. And as Jesus finished preaching, he looked at this man and he pronounced forgiveness of sins. Then they wonder, Then he says, "Then you might know that the Son of God has power to forgive sins." He says to the man, "Take up your bed, rise and walk." And the man was instantly healed. Now, the presence of God was there to heal. But the weave needs a channeling of the presence of God to bring that about. Understanding this presence with is important because the in presence of God is, of course, to increase His being with us and the experience of us with Him. But the with presence of God comes with a purpose. And it applies to healing, it applies to prosperity too. I remember in Penang when we first started the Alleluia Christian Missions, the vision was to send out fivefold ministries. And we used to publish a magazine. It cost a lot of money to publish magazines. So we published Alleluia Christian Magazine. And we were new in that. We were very, very fresh. We don't know, don't have much knowledge, but we were doing the best that we could. And so after publishing one or two, we were dry, our funds went out. And because we give the magazine free. We were unknown, so who wants to buy your magazine? Right? Even you sell also, some people might not take. So you give also, people might not have, want to sell to them. And so we give them out free. So they publicize the ministry. We have miracles, so we recorded them and all those things. I remember it was quite funny in some of the miracles. But we recorded some of them and the testimony. And so we needed, I believe, I think we needed about $2,000 or $3,000. I remember that. But we were new in those days. So a group of us, we decided to pray for the finances. Then one day, when we attended a charismatic meeting, there was a speaker there, and he was there, he was speaking. Then we were just enjoying ourselves with the presence of God. Then at the end of the meeting, there was like that whiff presence, very strong. Then I signaled to some of the others, said, "The anointing of the Lord is here." That time we know the presence of God. I say, "Let's quickly go to the site and pray for these funds to come for our next publication." So we went aside and we prayed. And of course, the person in the house at that time, I believe Joy Sevaranam at the time, he came from KL to Penang. And he noticed a group, and we were praying. And the meeting was basically over. But he said, "Hey, what's this group praying?" Then he came, and he said, "Oh, we're believing God for something. The anointing is strong. We are praying." We are praying. And he said, "That's good. Continue." But we are praying. We lay hands. And the next few days, a check came exactly. Now I think back, whether it was $2,000 or $3,000, but I know it's four figure that we are believing God. Exactly. And when you trace when it was written, it was after that time. Something was released when the anointing of God is there. But if you do it without anointing, I tell you, you can huff and you can puff. And nothing moves. Now you just turn red in the face. Instead of huff and puff and the house goes down. By the way, you're not a big bad wolf, right? You huff and you puff and you blow your hair down. Nothing would happen. But it's the anointing, the with anointing and the in anointing. So for those of us who have received different measures, and some of you will be receiving measures of anointing in your life, recognize that different, you may be skillful in the in, you might not be skillful in the with. And only as you recognize and flow, the strange thing about the presence of God is, the more you learn to flow with it, the more it can increase. If you don't do anything about it, let's say the with presence appear and disappear in your life 10, 20 times and you never do anything with it, it might continue that way for 40 years. You wait for God, He waits for you. Don't challenge God on a waiting game. He wins. If we don't have a forever life, He's eternal. So when the with presence happens, you flow with whatever God wants to do, and there's an increase in that. And so some must say, how are these presence determined? This is an interesting question. There is an in, there's a with, there's a round, there's a go is in front of you, and there's a rear guard, there's a presence underneath that holds you up. In all those things, there is a timing to its reception. The with will only come at the rightness of time. You cannot rush it. You cannot force it. Some people force it and fall flat on their face. The in will always increase because that is your basic. Now, what is each presence for? The in presence of God has to do with our relationship with God. How much we can take in of His presence and be in His presence. You can grow closer and closer with Him. The with has to do with the works of God. And as we learn to work with the with presence of God, we learn to work more and more with the works of God. And it has its own law and function to operate that presence. But in all these different types of presence, there is a fullness of time for each presence in its place. Like for the Apostle Paul, the with presence only came to him when he finished his time in the church of Antioch. In chapter Acts 13, verse 1 and 2, they were praying and they were waiting on the Lord. And in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So you never know when it may happen. It may happen in an all-night prayer. It may happen in one of those days when you were fasting. Different types of presence. But it happened as they were having a group prayer. The Holy Spirit says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now notice, there was a now from this time. Then the with presence starts happening in his life. And the moment he walked into the with presence and they laid hands on them and they went forth, Paul started learning how to operate the with presence. His first one was pronouncing judgment on Elymas the sorcerer. And Elymas the sorcerer was blinded and the proconsul believed God. And then from that day, he learned how to operate the with presence a bit at a time. He learned. He's familiar with the in presence. He's learned the with presence. And he flew along with that. And let's give an example in some of the lives of the people of God. And let's look at Daniel. Daniel is a good example of the different degrees of God's presence slowly in his life. In Daniel, he started with a basic love for the Lord. That's almost like where most people start. And Daniel loved the Lord. He didn't wait till the presence of God come, then he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord even when very few people love the Lord. See, you don't love the Lord when everybody loves the Lord. You don't start spending time with God when everybody else spends time with God. We need to self-initiate. We need to seek after God. And oils and water. That was his way to honor the Lord. He wants to follow the Lord. Why was it so? Verse 8 tells you his heart. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine with which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Who was he trying to please? Not man. He was trying to please God in his own way. And there were many other young men in those days. There were many other Hebrew young men. Only four of them. And Daniel was a leader. Chose to follow God. So, who initiated? Daniel. And he says, I want to still please God. So, he was seeking to please God. And God started working. See, the presence of God started working. And God, in verse 9, brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, the in-presence starts working when your heart is set right. The moment he set his heart to please God, circumstances change. So you thought that you got to feel something in you. No. The in-presence is always tied to your heart. The moment your heart is turned towards God, the presence of God starts working. The in-presence will work in your life. And all types of presence, whether in-presence, with-presence, upon-presence, and all surrounding presence, will have an effect on everyone around. When you have the in-presence of God and you press in, God touch the chief of the eunuch. Something changed in him. It was not Daniel. It was not because just he was a good man. But something touched his heart to say, give these young people a chance. Daniel won favor. The favor of God started working in his life. And he says, well, you might be all right, but if you guys look sick, I will die. You know, I will pay for it because the king kills people all the time. And then Daniel said, test us. Prove us. See how we go for 10 days. And if it's okay, then we will keep that. Fair enough. And so Daniel asked for that. After 10 days in verse 15, they look better, fatter in the flesh than all the young men. It's powerful. So God's presence was already working in their lives. The in-presence, what does the in-presence do? The in-presence changes you and opens the way for you to become closer with God. So you could be in an office where you very hard to find a place to pray. Because you set your heart to pray, God starts causing favor that you can find a proper place to pray. The in-presence will arrange everything around you so that you can have your time with God. You can draw near to God. It has its own working. And it draw Daniel to the place where the in-presence begins to bring another measure. In verse 17, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now that one is the beginning of an impartation. And when the impartation came, an impartation came with. The with presence manifested in wisdom. Because it was something that helped them to do something. The with presence enable you to do something. The in-presence enable you to access God more and more. So the with-presence manifests wisdom and knowledge. What could they do? It's not always signs and wonders and miracles and resurrection. Here, they could do things that others did not do. They had, when the king tested them in verse 20, they had wisdom. They could pass the test. They had understanding. The king examined them. They could function in areas that all his other wise men cannot. And how much could they do? 10 times better. There is an achievement. They beat all the wise men flat. 10 times. That is a with present. So the in presence, press, with present. And the with presence brought them positions. Because the king found them to be wise and better in all his realm, they serve God. And Daniel continued, and it tells you how long it lasted until the next kingdom. But basically, they were among his top wise men. So he served and all this until an occasion demand a with presence. They were all sentenced to die. And Daniel prayed, asked for a chance, and he received even more anointing to interpret the king's dream and also, of course, receive the dream and the interpretation. With that came promotion. Daniel became the chief minister after the interpretation of the dream. That is in chapter 2, verse 46 to 49. And with his promotion, he petitioned the king and got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to also be promoted. So he became the chief ministers of the king. And so he continued to serve the king. And you see all the secular things that he did and all the interesting things. But God wanted more in Daniel's life. And passing through all those other places, Daniel was not a prophet yet. He was just a top wise man. He was a ruler over an empire. Chief minister on behalf of the king. He helped to rule the empire. Did a lot of things. The king, eat, drink, and be merry. And Daniel knew what to do. Now, you need a lot of wisdom to do that. It was one of the largest empires in the world. Always a lot of things, a lot of duties, a lot of different things. And he functioned well. But he was not a prophet yet. He had an anointing upon coming. But God draw him in slowly. And with each drawing, the anointing increased in his life. And as he draw him further, the second part of the book of Daniel tells us in chapter 7. The first thing that changed in Daniel's life was he began to have dreams and visions. Now before that, perhaps he had them, but not as dramatic as chapter 7. When did he start to have these dreams and visions that were so astounding? Chapter 7 verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, and king of Babylon. That means Nebuchadnezzar had died. Another king has arisen. Some scholars say that he's his son, some say he's the grandson of the king. Whichever. But Daniel lived through Nebuchadnezzar. That was a long time. And then by the time he reached Belshazzar, there was a change in his anointing. There's a change. God was drawing him into a new level of anointing. Remember, as I show in Daniel's life how he changes. The anointing of God will change in your life. In Kenneth E. Hagin's life, the anointing changed into 4 different phases. And he must be faithful in one phase before he go to another phase. And during the first phase of his life, after 15 years of pastoring a church, when Kenneth Hagin started traveling, he started obeying God. That was in his book, I Believe in Visions, when the Lord said that you just entered the first phase. He said, but I've been serving you for 15 years, full time some more. He says, yes, but you just entered the first phase. He said, what was the earlier phase? Preparation. Because God did not mean him to be a pastor. God meant him to go into traveling ministry. But as a prophet teacher. And as he obeyed the first phase, God says, God began to deal with him, different things. And then he moved from one phase to another phase, to a different phase, to him and touched his hands. And it burned. And he entered a different phase. With each phase, the anointing changes. The anointing, and this is what happened. The anointing within grew, and the anointing upon or with changes. He ministered in different ways. When he received a different phase of anointing upon his hands, his ministry style changed, because now he got to lay hands on people to feel whether the fire jump from hand to hand or they don't. His style changed because it was a different phase. And with each phase, he has to flow with what God asked him to do. That's Kenneth Hagin. Here, Daniel was about to grow into a different phase. Dreams and visions that horrify him because he didn't understand. But one thing he did, he wrote down. He wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. And in verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So obviously, he was being pushed. Don't forget, Daniel was a smart man, 10 times wiser than other people. But this was taking all his energy. Even he cannot understand. His body also cannot stand it. He was pushed. And he says here that he was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And at that time, in verse 16, I came near to one of those who stood by me and asked the truth of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation. So he began to have some interpretation, some understanding. And in verse 28, as for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me. My countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. How long did that last? In chapter 8, verse 1. Although it's one chapter for us, you notice, for Daniel, it is 2 years. Because in chapter 7, verse 1, it was in the first year of King Belshazzar. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared. What was the gap? First year, third year, 2 years. So obviously Daniel had a different impartation. The first impartation, confusion. So some of you got impartation, confusion. Say, cannot be. Spirit of God enlightened. But it is your mind trying to deal with the anointing. You are receiving things faster than your mind can catch up with you. And it can take your mind 2 years to catch up. When the Lord brought me into the spiritual world, 2006, took me nearly 1 year, 6 months to absorb it properly before I could write it down. Because there were things I tried to understand, things I tried to comprehend, things I got to find the scriptures for, things I got to assimilate with my old theology, how it can fit into this theology. It took time. My mind had to catch up with the revelation. And it's slower than the spirit. And the same way when you receive a fresh anointing, just let it flow. And your mind might take time to react. So don't be afraid if your initial reaction is, you cannot understand everything. Like the first time you speak in tongues, what did your mind say to you? What funny sounds are these, right? Your mind is saying, why is this funny sound? I wonder whether it's me or the spirit. You have all those struggles. Because your mind hasn't caught up with the spirit yet. And it takes some time. Let it soak in. So whatever anointing you receive, let it soak in. Don't doubt. Some people doubt and say, don't want this, don't want to do anything more. So they got stuck right where they
it will. Never move on. But you allow it to flow. If you receive tongues, you start praying more in tongues. And whatever you receive, flow with it. I don't know how Daniel deal with this, but one thing I know, he dealt with it through writing. Because he said he wrote down. And I don't know whether there were more visions and dreams he received, most likely. But there was one prominent one. And as he wrote, I don't think he understood everything. He just wrote them down. And as he write, one day, 2 years later, in the third year, after the one that appeared to me the first time, so it looks like he could have little things, but this was the second major thing, 2 years apart. 2 years apart. God saw that it was time to bring him one step further. And in his 2 years later, when he was faithful to God, he probably didn't doubt. I'm sure sometimes Daniel, remember, he always pray 3 times a day. And he must have written something, he might have read, try to understand. And we know he studied the prophecy of Jeremiah, which means that Daniel probably was a man who studied the word too. And he must have sought God, tried to understand. For 2 years he tried to understand. 2 years he studied. 2 years he waited on God. 2 years he didn't doubt God. And then God must have said, I will now bring him to the next phase. And in chapter 8, after 2 years, another vision happened. And this time, in verse 2, I saw the vision, and it so happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in a province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulai. I lifted up my eyes, and then of course he saw this ram and the ram pushing and all those things. And then when he saw all those things and all the instructions, in verse 15, it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning. So I believe there's a gap between verse 14 and 15. So he saw the vision. Knowing Daniel, he might have written the vision. But here's what Daniel did. He was seeking the meaning. I want you to note that word. In verse 15, he was seeking the meaning. So he must have constantly brought that prophecy or that vision and said, God, please show this to me. Teach me. And he's a smart man, but he didn't try to interpret. He kept reading. I wonder what this means. I wonder what this means. And God, please reveal to me. How long did he seek? 1 hour, one day, we don't know, maybe many days. But as he was seeking the meaning, and that was what God was looking for, God wanted to draw it out from him. Remember I said the presence of God, some initiative? So God was waiting for him to draw it out from him. And as God was drawing out from him, the command came to Gabriel. This is the first time Daniel met Gabriel. And says in verse 15, as I was seeking the meaning, suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Now Daniel reached another level. Can you see there was some initiative, faithfulness to the first level before the second level? If you're not faithful to the first level, you can never receive the next level. Some people receive tongues. They don't even do much with their tongues. Yet they're asking God for more gifts. Some people might have received a certain anointing, but they don't function the anointing. Say, God, more. God say, I give you more, you just collect and museum. He said, this artifact put here, this artifact, all are artifacts. I didn't give you to build a museum. Instead of making use of everything that God has given and flowing. And Daniel was faithful in that. And that day, he met Gabriel. And he became a good friend of Gabriel from that time. And in verse 27, I, Daniel, fainted. and was sick for days after because the body was still adjusting to the anointing. So sometimes it takes time for the body to adjust to the anointing, to the level of anointing. Which is why some of you, when you're new in charismatic circles, the moment people pray for you, boom, you fall. Pray for you, boom, you fall. People worship God, boom, you fall. People preach a message, anointing, boom, you fall. Most of the time in church, you were fallen. In the spirit, and adapt, and adapt. And then you thought, wow, your body adapted. The last time you fell under the power of the Spirit was 66 years ago. Or whatever. But wait, the higher measures. The higher measures changes you, transform you. There are measures in God's anointing. And as there are measures in God's anointing, your body might react differently. So do not worry if your body got all kinds of reactions to the anointing of God. It's not that the devil has just attacked you. The devil didn't make Daniel sick. His body just felt very weak. The Hebrew word is a word for weakness. And although it's used sometimes for sickness, but it need not necessarily apply to sickness. And of course, you see the rest of Daniel. He began to seek God more. He prayed to God more. He searched after the meaning of prophecies. And he bring it before God. And he adapts and change. So these are some of our introduction to understanding the presence of God. Most of us thought presence is presence. Oh, so many dimensions of presence. There's a presence, I didn't want to cover too many grounds, so I just covered presence in and presence with. And there are these two dimensions. And in the New Testament, you understand it as anointing within, anointing upon. And we have to deal with both anointings. And both has its purpose and work. Some people have the anointing upon, but very weak anointing within. Some people have anointing within, but they don't know anything about anointing upon. Nor recognize it when it comes into the room. Because when anointing upon comes, it doesn't make you do things. You have to understand it to flow with what it wants to do. And when you flow with exactly what it wants to do, signs and wonders and things take place in your life. How does it affect us internally? Well, for example, when some of you receive like the Manabar anointing, you might feel that each time you pray, your imagination goes there. Right? When you close your eyes, hey, you're still there. And you struggle. You say, come back, come back. I'm now in Singapore. And so when you go there, you say, no, 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 come back. Don't struggle. You're supposed to see that place. You're supposed to let it flow. And perhaps you have to be there in the spirit to see and absorb the scene. For me, it's going to last probably for the next 3 to 6 months. Every time I used to pray, there's a favorite place that I go to in heaven is a paradise. My pet dog is there. And he's always one of the first to greet me. And every time I close the prayer, So from there, I explore the spiritual realm. But this time I pray, oi, go to Mukave. So I close my eyes, oi, Mukave again. Right? I could not scrub it out. It's like, inside, see it inside. And then pray, hey, Mukave again, the 12 gates. You know? Do I struggle and say, no, come back. No, come back. No. You flow with it. You flow with it. So let me talk about an example of one guy who was praying for God for a healing that he cannot get a breakthrough from. And so this person pray, and cannot get. So one day this person was praying. And every time he pray, and he has this imagination, he call it, since he's not a man of vision, he calls it imagination. And he say, I keep seeing these streams of water flow. But every time he flow, I say, it's distracting, I open my eyes. So every time I close my eyes, I see these streams of water flow. So I say, look, what do you want to see? He said, I thought when I close my eyes, I see the Lord Jesus. They say, what do you think he looks like? Which one you going to see? On the cross, on the throne? And so I say, don't struggle to produce the vision. I say, the next time you pray, if you see the waterfall falling, just enjoy the waterfall. He said, but it could be the devil. I said, why the devil want to show you the waterfall fall? He said, how do you know it's the devil in the first place? I didn't know when you pray to Father God, devil appear. I say, by the way, whose father are you? Whose son are you? But anyway. So I say, don't struggle. Enjoy that presence, whatever it brings. So he says, okay. I said, give it a try. He says, okay. So he pray, and then he see the waterfall, and fall asleep. Then he comes in, hey, I hear waterfall, enjoy, but fall asleep. So I say, don't worry, pray again, and if the waterfall come, enjoy. Sleep, never mind, but wake up, also continue. And then he pray, and the waterfall. Under the person, every time pray, see water flowing, flowing. And then you reach a point, the person doesn't struggle anymore. Close their eyes, like refreshing. Flow. After 3 months of seeing the waterfall, didn't see the glory of God, didn't see Jesus appear, didn't see the cross, didn't see everything, just waterfall. And he really enjoyed it. I could tell at the end of 2 months, the person really enjoyed it. Oh, nice. You know, he said, Pastor, wow, like going for a shower, going for a bath. I said, okay, I'm glad you're enjoying it now. Before struggling, I really enjoy. After 6 months, the person was totally healed. Of a sickness and disease, semi-psychosomatic, but very, very real in the body. And he said, you didn't ask for healing, did you? He said, no. You just enjoy the presence. Yes. I said, that's the way the presence works. When you forgot all about it and enjoy whatever manifestation present, God knows how to tune you. Because now every one of you pray, you want to see waterfall. To each different. Who knows? Some of you pray, see, fire, 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 fire. Well, if that is you, don't struggle. But if you shake too much, vibrate too much, make too much noise, go to a corner so you're not so distracting. Right? But whatever God is working in your life, let the Spirit have its fullness. And let whatever anointing He's building into you finish, complete. And you notice when Daniel was having the manifestation, he is brought back to the river Ulai. Now you look where he was. He was actually in Shushan, the capital city. But when he saw the vision, he was brought to the river Ulai. What was he doing in the river Ulai? Perhaps he used to go there to meditate. And then for a walk or to relax. But now he's back in the capital working. But the vision always brought him there. And then you have in verse 16, when again he had a vision, this time he's back in the Ulai. And he's always seeing the river, the river, the river. So I do not know what God works in your imagination. Every time you pray, some of you might pray, you see, the light. What light? The light. Because whatever you explain, somebody else won't understand. But you just enjoy the light. You let it flow in you. The impartation and different levels of anointing will affect you different ways. It will affect your imagination. It will affect your thought life. Your thought life, in a sense, like, after Madaba, when I close my eyes, the first thing is, boom. And then I keep going back to the experience where it's like the same place that Enoch went to. And why does God keep taking me back there? I don't know. I may understand it 2 years later. See, flow with it and the understanding comes later. Look at Daniel, smart man, 10 times smarter. He flow with it, and the understanding comes later.
You just enjoy the dimension of the Spirit. Let it take you where you are. Perhaps when some of you were touched, so your imagination get affected, the area of your thought life, your thoughts might be drawn in a certain dimension. Not all of us are struck by lightning and open our eyes, see your angels. But you will have a particular thought that might keep coming to you. The moment you open your eyes, close your eyes, the first thing is the awareness of certain things. Whatever direction it flows, it would affect a certain thought pattern in your life. See, thoughts come in patterns. Your imagination change, the pattern of your thought change. Something different about the way your thought function or pattern, like it might begin to become aware of certain dimensions. So since that time, I become aware of certain dimensions that want me to be aware of it. And I allow the thought patterns to flow. It's not like anything bad. It's something different. And you allow it to reach its fullness in your life. Or it could be a melody or the song in your heart that perhaps after a certain experience, your tongue changes. And then as your tongue changes, and you got your old habit of your old tongue, so your old tongue could be na 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 na. Then after your experience, your tongue goes. Then you feel so strange. You feel like something changed in you. I purposely make the contrast. And then once in a while you say, hey, why no sha na na anymore? And why when you pray you go. And so you're saying, I don't know lah, not so comfortable. You feel uncomfortable. Like a new pair of shoes you're not used to. Like all the time you're wearing, you know, certain type of shoes, then suddenly you change it, hey, you're not used to. Certain type, style of clothing suddenly, you know, you never use a new type of clothing. So like something discomfort. But then there was something pushing you. And perhaps all you before was, you want to go back to that. But the Spirit pushes you to Hoshikra Li Yubra Li Yubra Mohoya. And you say, wow, what kind of tongue is that? Don't know. But if it wants to come forth, let it flow. Let it see where it takes you. And as you flow in that, after some time, it might be a mixture of this and that. And then after some time, it will change into something else. But let it flow to its fullness. So your tongues might change. Or the type of songs or melody you like might change. You know, all of us have an internal melody and a certain type. There are thousands of type of worship songs. Yet isn't it strange that each one of us particularly like certain type of worship song. But when the anointing comes, it might change the flavor that you like. And the change might be gradual, might be overnight, might be dramatic. Doesn't matter. But it does change. It's almost like, you know, when my son was growing up, he loves burgers, meat, and chicken rice. Do you like wonton mee too? No, right? Chicken rice. Chicken rice, roti canai, McDonald's. So when he is growing up, of course, moms and all that were always concerned. I wonder whether he liked vegetables. But as he became a sportsman, snowboarding and all that, and of course, all children, they like fizzy drink. Always, every meal, Coke. Every meal, Coke. Every meal, Coke. But after a while, he goes to snowboarding, Canada, New Zealand. Then sometimes, then he comes back home, take him out. Say, what do you want to eat? I say, chicken rice. He still loves his chicken rice. But I say, Coke? He says, no. Give me water. I say, don't you drink Coke anymore? He says, no. Oh, praise the Lord. He doesn't. He's suddenly so health conscious. And then, eats veggies. is healthy, something has changed. That is natural change. But it's good. He's a sportsman now. He seems aware of sports things and health and body things. It has changed. It came into his life. Doesn't look like, you know, the same type of diet. And talk about burgers. Says, no, I prefer more healthy meats. So, different. And the same way, when you grow in the spirit, your spiritual appetite changes. And some of you might, they're different, like your song. The type of songs you like to sing changes. You know, some of us, because by nature you're warlike, every song you sing is fire, 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 come on me. You know, we are marching. Oh, all your songs. If we ask you to lead song, all eight songs are marching. Man. You know, each song leader got their style. But then suddenly the anointing comes on you in a different way. And then all your songs are, you know, be still and know. You say, hey, what happened to you? Listen, you're way fast. Scriptures. And then come read the Bible, you always say, epistle, epistle, epistle. Or gospel, gospel, gospel. Never touch Old Testament. Suddenly anointing come. Wow, Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament. And you do that more than others. Suddenly, your interest is there. So, you see, must I still read the whole Bible? Flow with it. Because it could be the Spirit asking you to focus on those areas. And they are the diet that you need to sustain the new impartation. So before, you never read Psalms. You never read Proverbs. Suddenly, it might come, wow. Proverbs, some every year drawing is hungry, you want to know that. Flow with it. Is it how long will the face last? Sometimes short, sometimes long. And then after a certain diet of that, you will naturally balance out. Because it's a fresh anointing that you receive. There are many other types of side effects, but I've given you some examples so that you know. And as we flow into this presence of God, and tonight we focus on in and with, that there are different dimensions and different fullness. Thank God for each new impartation. Because sometimes between each impartation could be 2 years like Daniel, or a few years. Sometimes like Paul, it was 10 years. And then after 10 years, he went into the church of Antioch. In 1 year, he moved into a different anointing. He was there in Antioch for only 1 year. But he had 10 years preparation. And 1 year in the church of Antioch, then he left for his missionary travel. And his first journey was different from his second journey. And his third journey was even different from his first and second. So Paul was flowing with the new anointing he had, with the new understanding and the grace of God that he had. By the third journey, Paul concentrated on Gentiles. He didn't go back to the old habit of the synagogues anymore. He goes straight to the Gentiles. So he learned, he developed, he grew in his anointing. The same way each one of us must flow in the anointing of God in our life. So that the present, the end result is this. The presence of God changes you. The presence of God bless you and brings you to a nearer dimension. Let it flow. And this message is also to everyone, not only those who just been to Madaba, but some of you will have received different presence of God in your life. And as God changes you in different dimensions, flow with it. And the change that comes will bring you into a higher ground. All change affects every other change. And that's why the side effects are there. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for the increase of your presence in our life. How the presence changes, how the presence transforms us. At the end of the day, it is just walking with you. You in us and we in you. Learning of the holiness of your presence. Learning of the joy of your presence and allowing your presence to transform us. So we ask, O God, that you transform us, change us. Change our heart and our mind. Bring us into the deeper awareness of your presence. Whatever dimension of your presence, change us, transform us, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise together. And as we sing softly, we are standing on holy ground. We prepare ourselves and slowly off the lights, and we go into prayer and then allow the Holy Spirit lead you in praying in various ways. And then towards the morning, we will call for a corporate prayer.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Standing in His presence on holy ground, we are standing on holy ground. On holy ground, we slowly off the lights. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that presence on holy ground. Rahari ahang ahangamwa. Hanga, hanga, hanga.